Thank you, Jeff, very much. Appreciate that. And appreciate this evening. I knew there'd be testimonies tonight, so I thought about that as I planned the time for the message. So, and I think I've got myself on. Is that correct? I'm all set to go. So let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to be, you know, one of the most difficult things, and you've probably heard this from other people too, but one of the most difficult things to do when you're a guest speaker somewhere is to figure out what to speak on. I mean, there's 66 books in the Bible, and there's hundreds of chapters and thousands of verses, and it's really gets to be tricky to think about what you should preach on. But I'm so thankful that when you pray and you ask the Lord for guidance and direction, things just start falling into place. And as I was thinking about tonight, I had a number of different things in my mind and heart. But I believe that what I'm going to share with you tonight is something we all need to hear and just be reminded of. In fact, I feel tonight like I'm going to defend somebody that's been getting a bad rap. Do you ever have that happen? I remember hearing a story, for example, about four pastors that were sitting around a table. Well, it was a couple of pastors, a couple of missionaries sitting around a table in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they were giving a bad rap about a certain fellow. There was another pastor that had rumors had been spread about him and things of that nature. And one of the missionaries happened to know that pastor. So the four of them are sitting around the table, and three of them are just jawing away, you know, about this fellow and what they've heard and whatever. And finally, the one man says, "You know what? That man's my friend, and I've got him right here in my cell phone. Let's call him and talk to him." And dialed the man as they sat at the table and put him on speaker and said, "Hey, brother so-and-so, this is missionary so-and-so. Hey, we're hearing all kinds of stuff up there. What's really going on?" Well, the pastor was able to share what was going on, and the other three men could have sank underneath the table. You know, they were embarrassed. But that man was getting a bad rap. There were things being said about him that weren't true. There were things being portrayed about him that were not accurate. And that's what I'm going to be dealing with tonight as we take a look, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of a balanced, separated life. A balanced, separated life. And I'd like to start with two verses and then a word of prayer. The first verse is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." And the second verse is verse 9 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Shall we pray? Our Father, as we look at this important subject tonight, we pray that you will help us understand it in its biblical context, and pray that you will help us apply it in a loving way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I mentioned that word separation, what did you think or how did you feel? For a lot of people today, when you mention that word separation, they're going to break out in a sweat. Their blood pressure is going to go up. Their heartbeat's going to start getting rapid. They're going to be thinking about some experience or situation that was unpleasant to them that they associate with the idea of separation. But when you take a look at the Bible and the subject of separation, you see that it's not a negative thing, my friend. It's a very positive thing. In fact, the two verses that we just read for our introduction this evening take away that misconception of separation being a negative thing. First of all, in verse 6, you see it spelled out clearly, "and you became followers of us and of the Lord." There's nothing negative about that, is there? Being a follower of the Lord and following others who are following the Lord is not a negative thing at all. That's a very positive thing. I think about that when I think about relationships in people today. Do you notice how people that are friends and hang together kind of emulate each other? They just have kind of the same interests and kind of reflect on things the same way. And you could ask one friend what he feels about an issue, and if they're good friends, you'll probably find the other friend saying the same thing about that very issue because they have a common bond there. And here we find in our passage of Scripture, there's a common bond between Paul and the Thessalonians. As he said, ye became followers of us, but it's not just being a Pauline follower. It's the idea, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. But the second verse makes it even stronger in regard to being a positive issue. When you take a look at chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye, listen to the positive aspect of separation, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Too many times when people talk about separation, they start with all negative. Oh, you're separated. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And a lot of men, when they preach and teach, get behind the pulpits. And every Sunday, you just can't wait to hear what they're going to preach against this week and preach against that week and preach against that week and give themselves the label of being a separatist. But I believe a biblical separatist is a balanced separatist. He has a balanced separatist life. And I believe it's a positive thing, not a negative thing, as we've seen pointed out already in these two verses. Now, when we think about this, I want us to look at three very simple passages tonight. We don't hear them often anymore. I don't know that separation, as I say, is a very popular subject today because people do look at it in such a negative way. But we're going to look at three very basic passages this morning, but I think they're all three very important for us to have a balanced, separated life. Now, let me stop and give you an illustration before we look at the first one. When I think of balancing, I'm thinking of tires on an automobile. And I'm thinking back to the 50s and 60s when working on automobiles and tires was a very difficult thing. Some of you are already smiling because you know what I'm talking about. Back in those days, you always carried a couple of spares because it seemed like you always got flats. And when you got a flat, you had a tube in the tire, and you'd have to get the tube out of the tire, and you'd have to fix the tube and get it back in the tire and put it all back together again. You didn't have these fancy machines they have today. You would set the tire down in the driveway, and in our situation, Dad would stand on the tire, and then he would stand on the tire like this, and he'd have his hand on the hood of the car, and then he'd say, okay, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up, and you'd have to bring your tire up so that you break the bead on that tire to be able to get the rim loose so you could get the tube out. And how many times that, whoa, Dad, you're going over it. How many times you go too far over it? Boy, that was a struggle. But even when you got the tire fixed, then you had to take these lead weights and you had to kind of guess where they went. And if you didn't get them right, your tire would wobble and you'd have a vibration in your car. But you got used to how to do it. You kind of tried to figure it out. And you had what you would call, I would term it this evening, I would term it the basic bubble balance. Just the basic bubble balance that's going to get you down the road, but it's not going to be the smoothest ride. From there, though, things changed into what you call the spin balance. How many of you remember that? As shops loved it because they would go in and you'd finally get to a tire shop as things moved along and tire shops became more plentiful. And you would go to a tire shop and they would say, do you want the bubble balance or do you want the spin balance? And of course, who doesn't want the spin balance? Of course, that was $5 a tire where the bubble balance was $1.50 a tire. But you realized with the spin balance, you got a much smoother ride. Just recently, I took our Toyota in to get tires. We needed them. They'd worn out and over a period of time. And I went in, and they said, do you want the computer balance? And I thought, oh, boy, here we go, the computer balance. But I want to tell you, when I pulled out of that parking lot, that car drove smoothly. I mean, I just floated down the road, and I thought, wow, that was worth it to get that computer balance. Now, again, all three balances got you down the road. But the balanced life, the best life, is when you took it all three steps. And that's what we're going to take a look at in our passages of Scripture this evening. What do we think about when we think about the idea of separation? Separation, by definition, simply is this: one who cuts himself clear of those who err from the faith, even those associated with them. And separation has not been a foreign concept in the Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. I'm going to make three quick quotes to you this evening from three men that I'm sure you'll identify with. The first one is Martin Luther. And Martin Luther writes this, "If I profess with loudest voice and the clearest exposition of every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that little point which the world and devil are at the moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may profess Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady in all the battlefield besides is the mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." So Martin Luther, years and years ago, recognized the need for separation in the Christian life. Notice there Spurgeon, he makes it even clearer yet, very succinctly says this, "I have cut myself clear of those who err from the faith and even from those who associate with them." He wanted a separated life. And if you read any of Spurgeon or read any history about Spurgeon, he was the prince of preachers, to be sure, and ministered to many with a good, balanced, separated life. The other one I think about is DeHaan. I have a quote from him here. Remember Dr. M.R. DeHaan, not the son but the father? Listen to what he writes in the perception that he has as he writes these words about separation. Without fear of successful contradiction, we dare to say that the greatest need of the church today is a company of separated saints of God who will refuse steadfastly to be swayed by the world's program or the visible church's apostasy. No greater blight has ever beset the Church of Jesus Christ than the blight of compromise and conformity to the world and its program. We are redeemed people, a peculiar people, an holy nation. We are to shine as lights in the world and firmly refuse to bow before the gods of compromise and worldly standards. When you think about this idea of separation that we're going to be looking at in its three phases or three balance points of it, we want to remember that it is not a bad word. It is not an ugly word. And it certainly is a word, when practiced over the years, brought about a tremendous testimony for Jesus Christ in the local churches. Now, with that in mind, let's go ahead and take a look at what I would call the basic bubble balance, okay? Just to kind of make you kind of remember something here tonight, the basic bubble balance. What is that? In other words, what's the starting point in regard to having a balanced, separated life? Well, take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, over to 1 John. When you go to 1 John, go to chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read three verses. And these three verses, I believe, are the basic bubble balance, and we can title them tonight, Separation from the World. Here we find separation from the world is the idea of the basic first step in regard to having a balanced, separated life. Listen how clearly God says this. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," let's explain it, "the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The first area of separation that we're referring to tonight from these verses of Scripture is personal purity and holiness that can be seen by the world. Personal purity and holiness that can be seen by the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. And we live in the world, but we do not succumb to the lust of the flesh or to the lust of the eyes or to the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world. Instead, we have a testimony for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a couple other verses, and you don't need to turn to them. I can just read them to you tonight. But the one is in James chapter 1, verse 27. I wrote it down, but it was kind of long, so I thought I'll just turn to it here tonight and read it to you. But in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction But it doesn't stop there. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now notice that expression, to keep himself unspotted from the world. You are going to be tempted by the lust of the flesh. You're going to be tempted by the lust of the eyes. You're going to be tempted by the pride of life. But you have to be disciplined and depend upon God so that you can do what? So that you can keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's the basic bubble balance of separation. Now, if you don't have that, and let me just put this in this way. I wrote this way in my notes. Warning. Did you notice anything you buy anymore today says warning? Excuse me. Anything you buy today, in fact, many times you'll find two or three pages of warnings before you can find where the on button is. And you get these things. Well, let me give you a warning here. Separation from the world, the basic bubble balance, we've seen it in two different passages now, and the warning would be this. And if you agree, say amen, and I'll move to the second point. If you don't say amen, I'll repeat the whole thing again, and it's hot. How's that for going to get an amen, Pastor? Warning, a lack of personal separation will distort your view of organizational separation. A lack of personal separation will distort your view when it comes to organizational separation. So you got to get that right first. Now, what's the second idea of a balanced, separated life? Well, the second one is going to take us over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you turn over there with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 6. And this one, again, is pretty easy to understand. We're going to refer to it as our spin balance now. We're moving it up a notch. And as we go into our spin balance, we're going to take a look at separation from unbelievers. Now, we've seen, number one, separation from the world. Now, we're taking a look at separation from unbelievers. And there are a number of verses that deal with this. It starts in verse 11 and goes down to chapter 7, verse 1. In fact, let's start at verse 14 and go down to chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There's our separation. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore, chapter 7, verse 1, these promises, if you separate, I'll be with you. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And you'll notice the whole series we could take and define every one of these from verse 14 and down, and every one of them makes perfect sense. It doesn't make every argument makes perfect sense, that is. You can't have unbelievers and believers having fellowship together. You can't have concord or communion if they're in disagreement. You can't have concord with Belial if you're in disagreement. You've got to be agreeable to be able to have a balanced life. And if you're trying to get with unbelievers and you're trying to build a bridge with unbelievers and you're trying to relate to them like they're brothers and sisters in Christ when they're absolutely not brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not only doing yourself an injustice, but you're doing them an injustice too. Remember what I said this morning about mentoring? And I made the reference about Pastor Ashbrook, who is the one that my wife and I were saved under. And I made the reference about younger men following. Well, a couple younger men followed Pastor while he was in the church up there in Mentor. He became Pastor Emeritus. And there was one young man that followed him that had been raised in the church. There was another young man that followed him that actually graduated from our school in Ohio. We were in a different church. He graduated, went to college, and he ended up becoming the pastor of my home church. That's pretty neat. But there was only one problem. he rejected the concept and ideas of separation. And one day he and Pastor Ashbrook were talking, and he was all excited. Pastor Ashbrook was saying, you know, I'm not really sure things are going as well as you think they're going. You've got some issues here that you need to deal with. And he goes, oh, we just love everybody. We don't want to get into all that. We just love everybody. And don't you understand, Pastor? Don't you understand? You know this family? And he named the family. And he said, we're getting along so well. They've started coming. They want to be involved. We've had them over to our house. Everything is really great. They want to join the church. They want to serve. They want to help with the youth. He said, what do you have against that? Pastor Ashbrook looked at him and said, I have one question for you. Are they saved? He couldn't answer that question. Pastor said it was pretty evident they weren't saved. But they were sure wanting to come, sure wanting to get involved, sure excited about everything, but they weren't saved. Having fellowship with someone like that and bringing them into the church body and putting them in positions of responsibility, what was that going to do to the ministry? Harm it deeply. Well, guess what? That ministry got harmed so bad that a man that was an assistant pastor at an evangelical church that was not strong at all got kicked out of that church because of the immoral conditions that he was in and ended up becoming assistant pastor at my home church. You see, when you start down that road of not separating from unbelievers, but they're such nice people, they're so friendly, they have so much enthusiasm. And by the way, I got a peek at their tithe check. I never did that. You don't do that either, do you? Okay. But you know what I'm saying, don't you? And you rationalize it away. But you know what it does? It completely puts the ministry out of balance. So we notice in our passages of Scripture so far, there's the basic bubble balance, separation from the world. The warning, a lack of personal separation will distort your view of organizational separation. The second, the spin balance, separation from unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What's our warning here? A lack of separation from unbelievers will result in a spirit of deadness in your ministry and life. But there's also now a third level of balance, and that's what we would call our computer balance. Where do we find that? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're going to begin by looking at a couple of verses in chapter 3. I have other verses to share. I don't want to wear you out with them, though, and with the although thank you for opening up those doors and putting on those fans. Isn't that much better? Feels like it's about 60 degrees in here. I'm so comfortable, aren't you? Aren't you really? Are you, what, Lena, your panty, why it's so cold? It's just so cold. Aren't you so comfortable it's so cold? I'm trying a little psychology here, but I'm not sure it's working. Okay, but anyway, trying. All right, but let's take a look now at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, we want to recognize that this is instruction to believers. And when you take a look at chapter 3, and notice first of all, verse 6, we read this. Now we command you, brethren, see, he's talking to believers here. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Notice two more verses, and then we'll comment on them. Look at verses 14 and 15, where we read, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now there's a title for this. We're going to be taking a look. We took that, the basic bubble balance, separation from the world, 1 John 2. The idea of the spin balance, separation from unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, the idea of the computer balance is separation from believers. And you say, Pastor, you mean to tell me that there would be a time that you would actually separate yourself from someone who professes to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is yes. When they're walking disorderly, when they're in a position where they are not following the word and the instruction of God's word, you are not to treat them as an enemy. You're to admonish them, but you still must separate yourself from them. Help them become ashamed and help them recognize before God their standing and hopefully bring them to the point of repentance. One who is seeking to please the Lord by obeying the doctrine of separation must separate from those brethren who refuse to obey God's words and doctrines. If you don't, what's going to happen? The chances are you are going to be contaminated by them rather than you being able to influence them in the right way. Now, again, you're going to seek to try to do that. You're going to admonish them. I don't agree with you, my friend. I think where you're going is not good. I think you're going to that place, and even though you say you're drinking soda pop, I'm telling you, I think it's going to take you down. I don't think you ought to be doing that. I don't think you ought to be watching that. I saw that CD you had the other day, and I'm telling you, I don't think that's a good thing for you. I'm warning you, and if it gets to the point where you have to say, you know what, I really can't be hanging around you because you're starting to influence me and pull me away from my fellowship with the Lord. And yes, you old timers know what I'm talking about. It's something that got scrapped years ago but needs to be revived once again. It's called secondary separation. Secondary separation. Separating from a brother who is what? Walking disorderly. Separating from a brother who is not doing what God has commanded should be done. Separating from a brother that he might become ashamed and in the process admonish him as a brother. Very important. And I think personally that a lack of exercising secondary separation today has caused the church to get out of balance. I think it's out of balance. I don't think our problem today is so much with the unbelievers, like the illustration I gave you in the last point. That happens. But I think there's been a lot more damage to the church today by the idea of not separating from those who are not walking orderly and not standing up to them and saying, what you're doing is wrong and it's going to affect you, and I really don't want it to affect me. I think it goes back to that comment, don't you believe, that Dr. DeHaan made? Listen to that again in context of what we've just looked at. Without fear or successful contradiction, we dare to say that the greatest need of the church today is a company of separated saints of God who will refuse steadfastly to be swayed by the world's program or the visible church's apostasy. But when we don't do that, then it brings it into the ministry and everything starts to wobble. And if it wobbles bad enough, it starts to come loose. And if it becomes loose enough, it starts to fall apart. So when you look at the subject of separation, you recognize it is not a bad word. It is not a bad doctrine. It is a positive thing that should be presented in the positive way. How you separate what? How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that means there needs to be a separation from the world. And a lack of it is going to distort our view of organizational separation. That means there needs to be separation from unbelievers, because a lack of separation from unbelievers is going to kill the spirit of the church. And then it needs to be at times a separation from even believers, because a lack of separation from disobedient believers will result in a watering down of the ministry at best. So separation is not a bad word. And I've talked to your pastor many times, and I know that he is a separated pastor. I think he's a balanced separated pastor leading a balanced separated church. But I'll tell you what, I totally reject the concept of people scrapping the word separation today because of those who misuse it, rather than standing up and defending the word separation today because God wants us to use it. And I'm so thankful to be preaching to a church tonight that understands that. And I trust this has been an encouragement for you to keep on that right track. Let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful thing to be able to look at Scripture and see what you say about things in contrast to what people around us say. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage this pastor and this fellowship of believers tonight, whom we count both as dear friends. Bless us as we seek to live a positive, fruitful, testimony, balanced, separated life for you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.